Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of Brown Game Strong. Today, we'll be discussing all things work and just finding direction in your career. We know that it's something that most people struggle with. Mitali and I both struggled with it. Still struggling with it, yeah. And we just, again, as always, decided to open up the conversation. So I will let Mitali begin. Tell me a little bit about your work, girl.
Yeah. So I may have mentioned in the pilot episode that I am a technology consultant. I work with a variety of clients across industries and provide tech solutions to them. And I spend most of my day walking around with a cup of coffee, pretending like I know stuff, which is, yeah, an art a lot of us learn to pick up in the workplace. It's like feeling like you don't really know anything, but then just figuring it out as you go along.
Story of my life.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a really good analogy for the way a lot of us are conducting our lives. So that's what I do day to day. I have some stuff I do in the evenings as well. So I take a lot of dance classes. I'll do the occasional dance performance. And I don't really know.
Basically, Mitali is just a multifaceted woman who is doing something all the time and like smashing work and also smashing like side hustles at the same time. I don't want to say you're figuring it out because I feel like you've got it figured out.
No, not at all. I think most of us, you know, who look like we've got it figured out, I don't even feel like I look like it. But when people say that, you know, you're doing so much and you're always running around doing something or the other, a lot of it is just me trying to pursue all my interests and keep on top of everything that I've committed myself to. And Asha, you're kind of the same in that regard, I think.
I'm stepping.
What do you do, Asha? Tell everyone.
So I'm a freelance writer and I'm a model. So the freelance side of the writing. So yeah, with regards to the writing, I'm currently ghostwriting a few books for everyone who doesn't know what that means. Most people don't know what ghostwriting is. It's like, so my clients want to write their own books and they have no idea or just don't have time to do it themselves, so I'm writing it for them. And it's amazing. It's something that, to be honest, 2 years ago I did not think that I'd be doing that. I did a degree in psychology because I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do when I came out of uni, and I knew that that would give me options, and then fell into mortgage advice, did a few exams in that, and then figured that it wasn't my calling in life and that I had to do something that I loved. And then for a few months had no idea what I wanted to do, but I was writing, posting it to my social media, and then eventually people just contacted me and were like, oh, so do you do this? Is this your job? And I was like, I guess now it is. And yeah, loving it, but figuring it out and just happy to be kind of running my own show, really.
How did you get your first client? That's my biggest question.
So this is a really, like, I love telling this story. It was actually my ex-boss. So she gave me my first job, and she's a distant relative / family friend. I did like 2 weeks work experience with her, which turned into like 2 months and then 2 years. And then by then I was like, we were in a meeting. It was like a quarterly meeting. And I think she had like plans for the next quarter. And I was like, I'm really sorry, but I don't think this is for me. And she was wonderful. Like, she was like, I support you in everything that you're doing. She knew that I modeled outside of work and that I was writing and things like that. And she said, I always want to be a part of your life. So I left work. A couple of months later, she got in touch and was like, I want to start a finance blog. And I was like, okay, yeah. And she was like, I want you to help me. And she was my first client. And it was really nice because she guided me through the first months of running a business and was my first client. So it's always a really nice story that I'm like, my ex-boss was my first client.
Yeah, that's so interesting because it was like while you were working for her as well, you were kind of just like, oh yeah, this is not really for me, but do you want to be my client?
Well, this is the thing. I hadn't even asked her. I hadn't even pitched it to her, but she had like come to me and was like, maybe she kind of felt a little bit sorry for me, or like felt like she had to take me under her wing, which was really nice. How about you? So how did you fall into your career, or was that something that you always knew that you wanted to do?
Definitely not. I've never really ever known what I wanted to do. And I find that a lot of these decisions that I've made, like in terms of what I wanted to study in uni and where I wanted to work, sort of just, is it bad to say that they sort of just happened? Like I came across them, essentially. With consulting, it partially came from my course mates in uni who could tell that I wasn't always enjoying the very technical aspect of my degree.
Yeah.
And they just said to me, Mitali, I think you'd make a really good consultant because you understand the tech side of things, but then you actually like doing all the kind of engagement with other people side of things and writing things up and doing all the documentation, which I guess it's a skill in itself. And I've always really enjoyed writing, I guess. So, and I've enjoyed interacting with people. So it's kind of like a combination of the two.
Yeah.
So
it's like the best of both worlds. I think that it really reflects you as a person as well. Because you are very much a people's person. Super smart too. So
I don't know about that. Like,
stop it. Just say thank you.
Thank you. No, but you do kind of walk around life thinking, I'm just waiting for someone to figure out that I don't know what I'm doing. And it's that constant imposter syndrome.
I think most of us feel that. And it's also like going back to like the topic, like finding that direction. Because it's unless you're, you know, going into something like medicine or dentistry, we're expected to figure out what we want to do so early on as well. So it's just, it's not knowing whether you want to do this forever. I don't know if you kind of found that when you were choosing your A-level or A-levels and your...
I kind of had a bit of a weird relationship with the whole education system as a whole, because I struggled so much to pinpoint exactly what it was that I wanted to study in uni. And, you know, by the time you're kind of picking your A-levels at the age of 15, 16, you're already made to think in that direction of what you would want to study at uni. And I was always, you know, it was sold to me like, what you study in uni is going to be what you're going to work in for the rest of your life. Yeah. And it's this underlying pressure that's constantly there. And so I picked very like mathematical and science A-levels because I was always kind of leaning towards more of a tech degree, just because I was told that that's the future. And if you want job security, so I was very much pitched my from like family and friends, the degree that I should study based on what they thought I was good at and what they thought would be like a secure kind of career and life ahead. So yeah, I hated physics, side note, and I picked it for A-level, even though you should only really pick A-levels that you, you know, absolutely enjoy and want to dedicate 2 years to.
Yeah.
And I purely picked it based on the fact that, oh, like I might want to study engineering at university. And so I'm definitely gonna need physics. So it was really interesting. But yeah, that's kind of how that happened for me. But having said that now, like looking back might sound cliche, but it all happens for a reason. So I wouldn't go back and change that now. But at the time, it was a nightmare doing physics coursework and just being like, this doesn't come naturally to me. Why didn't I pick something easier? What about you, though? How did you go about picking what it is you wanted to do?
So in terms of picking my subjects, I think I just chose what I enjoyed and what I knew would get me into a psychology degree. I think I hadn't really figured out what I wanted to study at uni, but I knew that if I got good grades in whatever I did, I'd get into the course. And I ended up doing English Lit, Geography and Psychology, very like humanities based. It was really ironic because I was like, I hate science. And I was like, I'm going to do psychology. So, you know, there's a lot of not really sciencey stuff. And, you know, it's still quite analytical, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, got into my degree and it was like stats for the first 2 years straight. And I was like, what is this? And like biology.
Did you feel like this is not what you'd signed up for?
Yes, 100%. I wish that now I look back, I'm like, I wish I'd done another degree, maybe like an English Lit degree. But you don't know, like, how are you supposed to know that? Okay, yeah, you go to these open days and you go, you read the, what they call the prospectuses and stuff like that. But until you actually sit down and attend these lectures, or you attend, you do your first essay or your first exam, you never really realize what you've kind of got yourself into. And I also like picked my subjects based on, like, they would just allow me to have options later on. And it's really funny because everything that I learned at A-level has like really stuck with me. So I remember in geography, geography, learning a lot about like the environment and like sustainability and how like the world is changing. And now, and it's really funny because there'd be stats which would use dates such as like 2020 or 2018. You're like, God, that seems eons away. And yeah, it's here and these things are really happening. So it was like really relevant. Even something like English Lit, I never really thought. I was like, oh, I really enjoy it. And a lot of people were like, oh, what are you going to do with that? And now it's really funny, like what you said, everything kind of comes full circle. Everything happens for a reason. And I'm like, oh, actually, it really helped with my ability to analyze and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So I'm going to throw you under the bus, Asha. I've just been formulating this question in my head. If there was a way that you could change the way that just, I don't know, any little thing that could improve that experience, is there anything that like after your experience of, you know, going through university, like how would you do it differently?
I think I would speak to a lot more people. And I think I would be less fearful about what I really wanted to do. I think I really wanted to do something in media or maybe something to do with drama. And I should have maybe just stuck to that and been like, right, I'm going to do that. Doesn't matter what anyone thinks. Doesn't matter what, you know, friends or society thinks. Because at the time also, like even a career in media wasn't a thing. So I think I just stuck to what I thought was safe. So if there was something that my gut, anyone listening, there's anything that your gut is telling you that you really want to do, just pursue it. And also speak to people in that industry. Don't be afraid to reach out. I think with social media now, it makes it so much easier to, you know, DM someone or send out a tweet or connect with them on LinkedIn. And that can really be such a game changer. And as kind of sad as it is kind of about who you know as opposed to what you know. That's just the world that we live in.
Yeah, no, I second that. As bad as kind of the word like networking is thrown around these days, if you just take the time to speak to as many people as you can and put yourself in that environment where you're learning from like other people's experiences, then that can really help you formulate what works for you and what you would want to do. Because how are you going to know what you don't know unless you expose yourself to those
100%
to that experience? So I think that's so true. But speaking of, you know, you might have done something in media. Do you think there was a kind of cultural bias almost preventing you from even thinking about pursuing a career in that?
Yeah.
And sticking to something that you thought was safe, or maybe something that people told you was safe?
No, absolutely. I think there is still that bias and the implicit pressure to like lean towards the sciences and the maths kind of based careers. And I think that, I don't know whether that's just an Asian thing, because it's just more respectable, more credible, the financial reward that comes with it, like the security of getting a job in, I don't know, in finance, you know that, oh, it's going to pay well. Forget your mental well-being, or forget the time that you'll have on your hands, or the lack of time. So I think, yeah, there was definitely, I wouldn't even say it was from my parents, but I think it's something that had been ingrained in me. I was kind of like, oh, what's the point? Because if I don't get a job in it, then I'm going to be even more screwed, kind of thing. So at least if I do psychology, then I can get a job in HR, or I can, I don't know, do more research, go into research or whatever. So there was definitely a bias. How about you? Because yours is fairly, well, you're in tech, so.
Yeah, no, mine is completely like what you're describing it to be, very mathematical, logical, you know, financially secure. I mean, consulting is typically what people go into when they don't know what they want to do.
Mm.
And lots of engineers end up in consulting, which is completely irrelevant to engineering, like completely not related. You know, you go through these really, really tough university degrees and then decide, actually, I don't want this. I want something that pays better.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, engineering doesn't necessarily pay well, but the point is, in my experience, I just didn't know what the working world was like when I was making these decisions. And it's such a key point that not having work experience, how are you going to know what a good job looks like versus something that's not right for you? And we judge it based on like financial stability. But like you mentioned, mental well-being is so much more beneficial in the long term, because you'll be more motivated to work. On the whole, you'd much rather be doing something you're interested in to a certain degree so that you can actually sustain a career in that.
Absolutely. And we live in a world where it's totally doable as well. Like, it's totally doable to have a career in something creative. And I think that's partly thanks to the kind of the internet era that we live in. and the ability to connect with people so easily and so quickly, and to also have your work just showcased online, like that's such a powerful platform that it isn't just about becoming a doctor or dentist or accountant or what's the other one?
Not that, those jobs are not.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not denouncing it. Kind of am a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
There's so much more to life than just that. There is
so much more. And also, like, coming from an Asian perspective, maybe that's all that, you know, previous generations have known. Like, there's an association with these numbers-based kind of clinical careers to be safe. And with a lack of education of knowing that, oh, actually, there's so many other career options which are also, quote unquote, safe kind of thing. And now as times change, I don't know if the perceptions of that is changing.
Yeah. I think just the education around that is so important, that if you are looking into a career in medicine, for example, what does that constitute? How does that tie in with your skill set and interests? And is that something that you see yourself kind of in the longer term? Like, is that enough motivation to keep you going? And if it is, then it is the right choice. But it's more about like analyzing that yourself, which when I was trying to make that decision for myself of like what I wanted to study, I was struggling very hard to kind of make that logical decision in my mind that, okay, these are the exact reasons why this degree works for me. And I wasn't able to do that because I didn't know enough about it.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a cool thing to do. And it seemed like the right thing to do. But day one, lecture one is when I realized, you know, that like, this is actually what this is. And like, I think when you're actually in that situation, that's when you just see the reality of it. And it can be a really good thing. Like, you can stumble across the most amazing degree and the most amazing career, but it's so much better to be more informed before you walk into it.
100%. And also not even going to uni, like that's totally fine. I think like I have cousins who are now debating whether they want to go to uni or whether they want to do an apprenticeship. And I think, I mean, degrees are so expensive.
They are. That, well, like you're in debt for ages.
Yeah. And even by not going to uni, you're getting yourself ahead of the game. And I think the other thing that's not spoken about a lot at school is also like working for yourself and starting your own business as well. I had no idea how to run my own show. Even now I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I not? How do I strategize, et cetera, et cetera. There is not enough support. And sometimes that's okay because you have to figure it out yourself. But I think from a younger age, if you are like encouraged to explore that path, if uni or a career, a specific career is not something that you want to go into. Yeah, I think that's pretty important as well.
Yeah. You did say that you were a mortgage advisor. So like
trained to be a mortgage advisor.
You were getting there. But then you kind of made that switch. And how exactly did you kind of have that realization, and what was the first step you took?
I think I knew from the beginning. Sorry to my ex-boss, I won't like.
Who also supported you.
Yeah, exactly. Fine. I think she even knew as well. Like everyone at work knew I wasn't really great at my job. I don't know. And that's for another day. I wasn't passionate about it. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think it was about a year and a half in, and it came to a stage where I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I can't pretend that I enjoy it. And I had just started writing as well. It was like a summer, quite abruptly, within kind of let them know, and within a month or so it was like, okay, I'm on my own in this big bad world. I maybe should have like eased my way into it, like maybe gone part-time or maybe started my writing side hustle on the side. But it was also because I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I think a lot of people do go through that, where you think that you're finding direction in your career, but it could be, I don't know, 5 years, 2 years, 10 years down the line where you're like, actually, I don't want to do this anymore. You have this realization that this is not my calling. And I'm actually really glad I had that really early on. Not to say that, who knows, in a few years I might want to do something else. And also switching even then is totally fine. I don't think that once you've started or once you've gone into one career, you should be locked into that for the rest of your life. Life is just about finding whatever you vibe with, really.
Yeah. Do you think it helps, though, that you were living at home?
Yes. I'm in that sense, definitely. And also that I had like, oh, I have really supportive parents who are like, we will support you, whatever you want to do. I remember like one evening, the autumn before I left my job, and I was like sat there like, oh, I just can't. I just don't want to go to work. I just want to do my own thing. And I remember being like really dramatic and being like, there's not one day that goes by that I wish I could work for myself. I was like, oh my God, Like, even when I think back, I'm like, wow, it's so dramatic, but it's so true.
Definitely hope your ex-boss is listening.
I'm sorry.
No, but this is what this is about, right? Just openly talking about how we were feeling. And I've definitely had days where I've not wanted to go to work.
Yeah, most of us do.
I have spoken to people at work about it who, you know, dedicate themselves to speaking to people who are not motivated or for whatever reason. And I think anybody can go through that kind of lull in their career, no matter what you're doing, whether, you know, definitely if you're self-employed, you have days where you're not motivated.
Oh, absolutely.
But also if you're in, you know, long projects like I am, sometimes you feel like you've had days like on end that have not necessarily gone well as per your expectations. And you start to automatically question, because as human beings, we naturally kind of fall towards the negatives. It's like, oh, am I not good enough? And like, why am I not enjoying this? And then there's always that golden nugget in your head of like, oh, you know what? I should just quit everything and just go traveling or become self-employed. And I don't know, open a coffee shop or something.
Yeah.
Which I think we all kind of have those crazy thoughts in our heads sometimes.
Do you think that it's almost a bit frowned upon to have like a side hustle if you're doing a 9-to-5? Like, do you think that senior members of staff, or I don't know if you've experienced it, where they've been like, oh, is this thing that you're doing on the side taking your eye off the ball? Or are they quite encouraging? Are they quite supportive?
I think there's a fine line. So when you do things outside work, it's generally regarded in a very positive way because it indicates that you're able to manage your time, that you have other interests, that you have more things that you bring to the table in your day-to-day job. But having said that, I think the other end of the spectrum is if you're dedicating a bit too much time to your side work and you appear as though you're slacking in your normal job, then there is a tendency to automatically think, oh, is this person not motivated enough and spending too much time on the things that they do in the evening, which they're probably finding more interesting.
Yeah.
So it's definitely about communicating to your work people, like, this is what I do outside work. I have these commitments. But also, sometimes you just have to overcompensate in your 9-to-5 job to show that you have not, you know, fallen off track and you're actually like still motivated.
It's really funny you say that, because a friend of mine who is an actor, he was saying that he has not mentioned it at all to people that he works with. And I think he's in consulting as well. He's like, because they would kind of be like, oh, so he might just up and leave, or he doesn't take his job seriously, which is kind of really sad, because you think you're allowed to have a life. You're also a person. You can't just make work your life. And it's really nice that, like with you, what you're saying, that, yeah, you let them know that this is what I do outside of work. I am a human being. I have other interests, but you work hard while you're there. And I think that's how it should be.
It puts extra pressure on you sometimes to deliver, because when you kind of start a new project, or you just kind of started working with all of these new people, and you tell them, oh, actually, I'd like to be able to leave at a X time every day so that I can make whatever my commitments are in the evening, they've not seen your work but at that point. And so you have that extra responsibility to show that you are dedicated and you're actually able to boss it in the workplace and also carry out everything that you do in the evenings. And actually, you have an opportunity there to impress them even more. And they will trust you with more responsibility because they'll be able to see that you're actually taking leadership over your own life.
So, okay, based on that, give me 3 top tips.
Oh God.
On someone who is doing a 9-to-5 but has extracurricular stuff going on, or like a side hustle. Any words of advice or words of wisdom? Because I feel like you really...
Oh my God, I really don't feel like I'm
a multifaceted woman. Like, come on, give us some advice.
Definitely bigging me up a bit there. I can give examples of what I do to help myself kind of get through all of the different tasks that I sign myself up for every week. So I have a whiteboard now, actually, behind my entrance door. And I just write down everything that roughly I think I'm going to do that week. And so it kind of, I just look at it, I can see it from my bed, and I'm able to just get a high level idea of the main things that I want to achieve that week. So it's usually a combination of maybe 1 or 2 things I want to achieve at work, and then some extra things, as well as my extracurriculars and some personal things. So whether, you know, I need to I don't know, clean the bathroom, then I'll tend to just note it down so I have an idea. So yeah, that's one. And I'd probably say, I don't know,
sorry, so much pressure.
I'll give one more. So okay. I think another one that helps me, so I use a tool called Trello, and actually at the start of every year, I break down my year but into quarters, very consulting of me, but for every quarter, I list down like high level things that I want to do. It could be something completely crazy, like, I don't know, work on my personal website, which doesn't exist right now, but if it ever does come into existence, then it will usually be in my list of things I want to do for next year. And then I just look at that every couple of weeks, and I just see if I'm like working towards it, or if there's anything I need to do that week to get there. So what about you, Asha? What do you like recommend for, you know, managing your time and
managing my time,
your goals?
So I would say, in terms of managing my time, just having a schedule. Like when you work for yourself, it's easy to be like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or I deserve a lie-in today. But I think keeping it as kind of regimented as possible. I find that I love going to the gym first thing in the morning, but because I'm so tired by the time I finish, that the rest of my day I crash by like 11, 12 o'clock, and then that's it. The rest of my day is gone. So I kind of try and shift things around to then, it's almost like a reward going to the gym sometimes. That in terms of organization, something I did find, like when you go self-employed or freelance, like often to begin with, you're probably not going to be making a steady income for at least a few months, and that's totally fine. I think it's funny because a lot of like people who are self-employed or run their own business, like there's a lot of rah-rah associated with it. It's like, I don't work for anyone, you know, like work for myself.
I go on random holidays whenever I like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, just, you know, living the freelance life, or like just, you know, things like that. And it's not like that at all. Like there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and finance has a lot to do with it. So I would say before you do go freelance, make sure you have enough savings to be able to fund your lifestyle for however many months that you think it's going to take before you have that steady income. I'd say at least 6 months, maybe minimum 3 months. And also, like, once you do go freelance or self-employed, there is literally nothing wrong with finding a part-time or a temp job. I find a lot of people are like, oh, but I thought you didn't want to work for someone, so why are you working for someone? And it's not about status. It's about funding what you want to do and about making ends meet so that you can fund your dreams. It sounds cliche and it sounds a bit rah-rah, but it's true. So that in terms of like being organized financially.
Yeah, it made me think of that cliche quote, with great power comes great responsibility, because I think of like the way you work, and I'm just like, if I had your job, I would just wake up at 11 o'clock every day, you know, start watching Netflix, by 4 p.m. be like, oh, maybe I should do some work now.
How do you know that that's not what I do?
Very guilty,
like literally, like that's pretty much my like Monday to Friday. No, I'm just kidding. What am I? I don't know. Yeah, no, it is. You just have to be strict with yourself, and also like surround yourself with people who get it, because a lot of people won't. Like I find that sometimes people are like friends are like, oh, let's go out for dinner, or let's meet, or come on, like you're free. I'm like, no, I'm not free. Like I'm pretty much, for you it's like a 9 to 5 or a 9 to 6 or whatever. For me, I'm pretty much working all the time. Even if I'm not physically working, my brain is still working. Whereas, you know, you'll have a few friends who are in the same position or who just understand. So that's really important, I would say. So yeah, my top tips for going self-employed.
Cool. And would you want to warn anyone about anything before they go self-employed?
It's not as easy and it's not as glorified as you think it is. Like there is so much. You always have to be on top of it. Like as in, even if it's not. So for some people, it works when they're like constantly hustling and like speaking to everyone that they speak to. They'll like hand them a business card and be like, this is what I do. Like if you ever need someone to like, you know, write for you or blah, blah, blah. Whereas I find that that's not me. So I'm just like, I'm looking to just build connection or like just genuine connections. So sometimes I also don't force it. But at the same time, don't just think, oh, it'll come when it comes, because that could be a dangerous path.
Yeah, like you have to just take the plunge at some point.
Yeah, right? Take the plunge and also just be sensible about it.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised at how many gaps in the market there are for things that you might think, oh, this is ridiculous. No one would ever want to buy this, or no one would ever want this service. But you never know. You don't know until you give it a go.
Yeah. And I think not everyone always has that option of just quitting something. Very and going true. Straight yeah. into something else. Like I know for me, because obviously I live out. And so I have various financial responsibilities that I can't shy away from. And so for me, like, that stability of having a monthly paycheck is so crucial to my well-being, like, both mental
survival, like.
Yeah, just survival. That's true. And so in my situation, I mean, fortunately do enjoy what I'm doing at the moment, but also take on stuff outside work because it kind of makes me just feel happy and fulfilled.
Yeah.
And so I do a lot of stuff, but then you sacrifice things in the evening. You sacrifice your evenings, sometimes your sleep, sometimes your social life.
Yeah.
So you can't have it all, but you have to decide what you're willing to sacrifice for what you want. So.
No, definitely. Yeah. Make sure that all your boxes are being ticked first.
Yeah.
All your responsibilities are being met, and then figure it out. Really.
Yeah. My mum uses this analogy of a jar, and you fill it with stones. And so you have, like, really big stones, which is like your biggest kind of responsibilities and things you should be focusing on. So whether it's your physical health or your rent, food on your plate, etc. And then you start filling it with, like, the smaller ones that fit into the gaps, which could be kind of your friendships or, I don't know, any relationships or hobbies. And then finally, you fill it with your additional kind of interests and things that you enjoy. And so it's important to kind of always prioritize so that everything's able to fit in the jar.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I love that. That's really
cool.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's really apt.
Well, thanks, guys, for listening to another episode. We really appreciate all of the comments and messages you guys have sent. Asha's facepalming right now, but I feel like it's got to be done.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye.